this week in Iowa, a new development is set called Center at Sixth, but more than just a strip mall, it's an incubator, a job creator for black and brown owned businesses. The creator and innovator joins us to talk about how he wants to help the community he comes from. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for being with us on This Week in Iowa. I'm Sabrina Ahmed. First, early voting is underway in Iowa, but this year, deadlines are different. It comes as the state passes a major election reform bill. So as we count down to Election Day, Local 5's Mary Sugden lays out the key takeaways to have on your calendar.
Starting October 13th, Iowans can vote early, a method that was extremely popular in the last election.
Well, in Iowa, we had 1.7 million voters participate in 2020. A million of those voters voted by absentee.
But if you're planning on making your voice heard early, you have fewer days to do so. This year, early voting is 20 days, pared down from the previous 29.
But we want to watch the deadline, the turnaround, because we don't want you to have your request coming in too late for the auditor to be able to process it.
If you're requesting an absentee ballot, you need to do so by 5 o'clock on October 18th. And if you plan on turning your ballot in at the election office, there's specific people who can do this if you can't.
Now, the only people that can return your ballot for you are yourself, an immediate family member, or somebody that's living in your household. Or, as the code says, if you're disabled, you can have a delivery agent.
If you'll be mailing your ballot, deadlines are tighter. Postmarks will no longer be accepted. It needs to be at the election office by election night.
All ballots have to be in the auditor's office before 8 o'clock on election day.
But if voting in person on election day is more your style, be aware polls close an hour earlier at 8 o'clock.
City and school elections are a big percentage of your property tax and a big percentage of what goes on in your community. So make a plan and go vote.
And while these changes are due to an election reform bill which aimed at wiping out voter fraud, here in Iowa, there have been zero confirmed cases of voter fraud, which is why the Secretary of State says Iowans should take pride in this system, which he thinks is one of the best in the country.
We do post-election audit where we're checking the results to make sure that our tabulators are accurate. And we have one of the best systems of all, and that's called poll workers, your friends and neighbors who are there at the polling sites. They're our first line of defense and our last line of defense to make sure only those who are eligible should be voting.
So while this year may be different, what remains the same is the power your vote holds in influencing our community. Mary Sugden, Local 5 News, We Are Iowa.
So that deadline to request a mailed absentee ballot has passed, but you can still vote early in person if you didn't request one. And while there are some major changes, some things to make sure you also know remain the same, you still have to have an ID to vote. You can still register to vote at the polls, and you do get paid time off for your vote. This year, that's changed slightly down to 2 hours of paid time from 3. All right, everyone, we'll take a short break. Coming up on This Week in Iowa, Center at 6th is more than just a development. It's going to change the landscape of the 6th Avenue corridor. We talk to the founder next. Among his many titles, artist, rapper, entrepreneur, Des Moines resident Marcaeus is now a developer who is staking his claim on the 6th Avenue corridor. It's an underserved neighborhood that's seen revitalization efforts from the city, but nothing like this has ever been proposed until now. So I spoke to the city of Des Moines, who say when public money is put toward a neighborhood, then private money usually follows, and this is a great example of that. So let's take a quick look at what the city has put into the 6th Avenue corridor so far. The largest amount of public funds has gone to the 6th Avenue streetscape improvement, totaling $9.2 million. They put $164,000 toward the 6th Avenue flats through a development agreement, and there's a grant program called the Neighborhood Commercial Revitalization that's given money to two different projects in the area, totaling about $100,000. The city also designated federal dollars through the CBDG Forgivable Loan Program for affordable housing. The 6th Avenue corridor is a Main Street community, too, and each year the city donates $40,000 to keep up with the rules surrounding that designation. This project Marcaeus is now bringing to the area will be in Des Moines, right at 1714 6th Avenue. That's at the corner of 6th Avenue and Jefferson. It's about 4 blocks south of the Des Moines River. Now, I talked to Marcaeus about why he chose that location and what this project means to the community.
Center at 6th.
Center at 6th. Okay, Marcaeus, walk me through it. How did you go from making whiskey to wanting to have center on sixth? Would you, I mean, is that fair? Is that the, trajectory?
So it's two things, right? So like the concept of center at sixth is something that I've had in my mind since 1718, like a place where black and brown businesses can function, collaborate, and like benefit from the synergy that happens when all those things are in one place. With actual bring it to fruition, I was just looking for a spot for my distillery, just looking for a spot in my community that I knew where it's like, yo, where can I put my distillery where I can hire my people, put some of these good manufacturing jobs in the place that I live, in the area I live, and then just discovering how many other businesses like me were going through the same thing where it's like, can't find a space. I want to be here, but there's nothing here. I want it to be in the most diverse, but I can't. And just stumbled on an opportunity. And after talking to some of the people at the through the Sixth Avenue corridor, and just fleshing out the idea, it was one of those things where I just wanted to provide opportunities for people who look like me, and see how I could create an affordable environment, a safe environment, a fun environment, a profitable environment, and a destination for the city.
You say we wanted to provide opportunities for people who look like you. That has been lacking in our city for lack of trying, by many people in the community. They're just, nothing's really caught on to allow black and brown-owned businesses to succeed in black and brown neighborhoods.
Yeah.
What makes yours different? How is this the project that is going to be the change?
And I think you hit it on the head. That's the problem that most, especially in a place like Iowa, where black and brown businesses need to be able to place their businesses in the place where their customers live so that they're easily accessible to the people who purchase their products. It's really just that simple. When we look at what makes this project separate than others that have, this is a business. We're not fundraising. We're not asking for handouts, we're not asking for donations. These are successful businesses coming together to curate an experience together. And I think the energy behind it in itself, just from that, especially when you look at everything that happened last year with protests and everything, even work that we did with like Black America Forum and like things that, this is the culmination of those things. This is the practical, rooted solution to everything that we went through. It's high-paying jobs. It's training. It's everything, you know. And I think the main thing that separates it is, especially, I mean, aside from those things, the players involved. I've put together a team of not only from a development side, but from a business side, the businesses that we're working with, even the corporate relationships that we've garnered throughout these years of building the liquor brand and building the community and doing different things. The people that we have on board understand and know what it takes to make a project like this successful. And not just immediately successful, not just flash in the pan successful, but for 20, 30 years. After I'm gone, this building will still be up, incubating and benefiting. And I think that's the main difference, is the energy and approach that we've come into it. You know, we're not, this isn't just something that's just for black and brown people. We're creating an opportunity and a destination for people all over the world, all over the United States, to come and experience the uniqueness that is Sixth Ave Corridor, that Des Moines has to offer, that the state has to offer. Just that in itself, it's something different.
We take a closer look at the project after this short break. You're watching This Week in Iowa. We continue to take a deeper look at the center at 6th. This is what it will eventually look like. There's public art on the outside that will be constantly changing, featuring local and national artists. There's an amphitheater, space for a number of businesses, a place to manufacture and bottle Marcaeus' own whiskey, plus apartments upstairs. And all of those amenities combined create a hub in this neighborhood.
Then when there are high-paying jobs in this neighborhood, those people who are living in this neighborhood, who work in this neighborhood, then go spend their dollars in this neighborhood to allow the other businesses outside of your business to thrive.
Exactly. It's group economics. If you really want a corridor to thrive and you really want a section of a city to thrive, it has to be a destination. There has to be people that are able to live and work in that corridor. And that's what this is. You know, you got Like, I have positions at my distillery start at 21 an hour, 22 an hour, no experience. Just come and learn how to, you know, those are the things that there'll be startup positions for that 17-year-old that wants to have that part-time job to get that extra Christmas gift for his mama. You know what I'm saying? That's what this is about. There'll be spaces for the student or the nurse who works at Mercy Hospital to be able to live up the street from where they work, to be able to get back and forth comfortably in a fly spot and get a coffee on the way out, get some jerk chicken on the way out. Don't buy a bottle of liquor on your way to work, but
say
come home and buy that bottle. But that's what we're creating. It's an atmosphere. And I think what's exciting about this is outside of, because I think it's easy to get even caught up on the Black and Brown Business Incubator. This is just something the city of Des Moines needs in general. Affordable housing, art infused into our businesses, like even with the design of how we're building it, being able to switch the art and rewrap it and bring in new local and national artists to showcase what they're doing every few months. Like, we're creating a destination where, and we're able to constantly celebrate the culture that is this place, you know, and put that on Front Street. I mean, I feel like what's exciting, I feel like Iowa should be able to wrap their hands around it. Like, this is a true, like, American come-up story. Like, I moved here. None of that was, like, marketing gimmicks. Like, I really was homeless when I moved here. Really sold mixtapes, put myself through college. Really took that money, started a company, and now really am a developer and putting that energy back into the people that, look, this is what it is. And I think for Iowa to be able to have the opportunity to have someone, and really it's a, we all got to pat ourselves on the back because we all did it. Like, this is a sign of what the type of community and the type of energy that we've even culminated here, and this is just the catalyst. Like, Center at Six is the catalyst for everything that we work towards in this place, you know what I mean? And so I'm excited. I mean, it's been a long process, of course, but the opportunity to serve my community, to help grow businesses, I mean, it's a win-win-win. It's such an alley-oop. It's almost like, it's literally D-Wade down the lane and LeBron is in the air. All he had to do is catch it. It's because it's exactly what we need, points.
Okay, let's talk logistics.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
It is expensive, yeah.
What does that look like? How do you pay for something like this?
Well, you know, it's one of those things, as you go through the development process, always just checking off and just building that capital stack out right. One of the things that we've identified is just through state funds, county funds, city funds, and just the flow of things that are going on right now, it does look like it's going to be a viable project and a profitable project. It's just one of those things, just making sure, of course, that we involve the right players, that we involve the right corporate partners.
Get the right grants,
make sure that things are structured properly. Because it's the nature of what this is, it can't just be a successful development. It can't just be, like, it could be a you know, profitable just from a rent-paying standpoint. We want it to actually serve its purpose. And that's a part of what building our capital stack is entailed, is making sure that the partners that we're working with fully understand what the long-term vision of this project is and the impact that it can have, that it isn't just another mixed-use whatever popping up. This is a pillar. This is a reclamation. Even with the name with Center at 6th Street, like, this is a reclamation and a rebuilding of something that was lost, you know? And so the approach of this has to be very pinpoint and specific. And with that said, we're still building that capital stack. That's not to say that we're not open to conversations. We've had some incredible talks with people around the city, and we're still willing to have those talks. It's looking like it's a $10 million project, which I think, of course, when people first hear that, that's a wow number. But in the world of development, that isn't crazy. And especially in terms of what's needed for that corridor, it fits.
Paying for that big price tag means needing reliable renters. Marcus isn't quite ready to tell us who will be calling Center at Sixth home, but he does give us a bit of an inside look. Next.
So let's talk a little bit more about, you know, those rent payers who are going to be in there. What kind of businesses are going to be in there? What's your vision?
Yeah, and I can't. I'm gonna hold off on the names of them because we gotta. But I can tell you now, like, look, we're focused on making sure that space is active night to day, and making sure that space has curated businesses, black and brown, that represent our community, that reflect the diversity of our community, and also reflect the entrepreneurial drive that is in Des Moines right now. Like, these aren't just struggling, whatever. These are successful businesses that are here to make their home base on 6th Avenue corridor.
So they are businesses that already exist.
Okay. So let me prop out the structure for it, right? So the way we're looking at it right now is, let's say there's eight commercial spaces.
Hypothetically
speaking. Let's say there's three businesses functional that are already up and running, already have a fan base. Let's say one of them is a liquor affiliated business.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Let's say another is a coffee affiliated business. Who knows? Maybe. Possibly. And let's say another one is a Caribbean cuisine of some kind. I don't know.
Maybe.
We would just.
That's where I'm getting my jerk chicken, right?
I don't know. Do you like jerk chicken?
I do.
I love jerk chicken. But then let's say those other spaces that are now in between those successful popular brands are incubated businesses that might not necessarily have the patience to sit down with you or sit down with, you know, whoever and pump their brand out. Well, now they're benefiting from the existing traffic that's already there. That's a part of the incubation. Let's say that, so the nonprofit that, those. So let me back up. Those other spaces are gonna be a part of, so a nonprofit interface that'll actually, you know, rent the space from us so that we can actually provide that fundraising for those businesses, right? So we can rent assistance, accounting, all that back end stuff that probably kept me 3 years ago from being at this point 3 years ago, not understanding like, oh wait, I can't keep my money under my bed. You know, like having six figures stuffed in your closet isn't a good idea. That's not smart. Maybe I should put it in a bank. Maybe I should hire an accountant. Those little things that
are barriers.
And we even saw it with this round of PPPs and all this government funding that came, where a lot of black and brown businesses weren't able to even touch it because of not knowing and understanding how to. And it's really just a lack of those resources. Like, these are things that are skipped over in our community, like just from an intrinsic. I'm not even going all that, but just from a, we know the systemic things that are in place that kind of block those type of information and tools from hitting us.
So you know that need exists.
Yes.
And you want to take that barrier away.
Exactly. We're taking away the barrier that that is accounting and back-end business solutions, HR. We're providing that at the startup. So let's say you're the coffee maker. Not coffee maker. Let's say you're a candle maker, and you've got a small line of boutique products, and they've been selling, but now you need that extra. Or let's say you're that caterer, and you've been doing the local festivals, and you've been doing that, but now you're ready to take the next step. But how do I do that? This is that conduit to be able to say, hey, be in this space for 2 years, learn how to do accounting, learn how to do your HR, learn how to do your payroll. Then let's see if we can slide you into a bigger space, standalone space. It's providing that extra step. And this is even with a small business. We know that step is crucial. That's where most small businesses fail. The space that I was in, where I need more production and I need to be able to get on the other side, is typically, and as me and you personally know, where businesses fail, and where I was almost at, where it's like, wait, I can't sustain and afford the growth that I need to be able to sustain. This is how we address those things. And so I look at it, this isn't just an experiment, this is a blueprint.
Are you proud of yourself?
I don't stop to, man, I haven't even bought a new car. I'm still driving my car from college. You know what I mean? Like, I still got the same dent on my car. I backed into a pole at the bank. This is how crazy, this is how long, listen, like, no, I don't stop to celebrate myself. Because if you do, then you're being complacent. And that time that you're wasting to celebrate, it's time that you can be moving forward. Like, there's too much work to be done to celebrate. Like, what's the meme with the dude in third place? Like, cracking a bottle it's not time to celebrate yet. I'm not gonna celebrate until, and it was dope. I've had conversations with a lot of elders in the city here recently, who are retired in their 70s and 80s, and they're looking at me like, I know I can celebrate now because I can see you doing what I was. When I hit 70, 80, and I see another me opening his fifth and sixth center at sixth, you know what I mean? That's when I know it's like, oh, well, let me go buy a new car now. Let me, No, like, I think we're just in that space where the opportunity is there. And if I can be an example to young me's, like, I would never, if I could have saw me at 17 living in a homeless shelter in this city, I don't know. I might have hit it 5 years sooner. And so being able to be the example, like, focused and working, not celebrating. They have enough examples of people celebrating and kicking it. Like, it's okay to see somebody hermit style focused. Like, no, you're not gonna see me at a bar.
The project is set to break ground early 2022 and also be completed in 2022. The city of Des Moines says they have not met with Marquez to discuss whether any public funds will go toward this project, but they anticipate that conversation in the coming months. And of course, we'll continue to follow the progress of this project. You're watching This Week in Iowa.